What's going on, everybody? We are coming to you live from Farmington Hills, Michigan at Take a Chance Records. I'm Will, a.k.a. Siren. We got Nate over here.
Yes, sir.
We got episode 73.
Episode 73. This one, I tried getting this one way back when
season one.
It took a few times to get this one in the works.
But one thing I will say is I remember when we had the list, the original list of all the people we want on. I think you were probably like six or seven on that list.
When we first started putting ideas down and putting stuff on paper, I'm like, all right, who are we going to get on here for our first few episodes? Like, we can't just drop one episode and go ghost.
Yeah.
Like, we need multiple people to hit up. Yeah. You were on that list for sure, because we can just jump right into that, actually. Well, for the people that don't know, this is Big Chris, engineer at Get Fresh Studio. We talked about him on Felix's episode a few weeks ago. Go check that out if you haven't already.
Talked about him in the last episode.
We did talk about him a little bit in the last episode. How we met. I want to say my side of the story because I don't think you've heard this.
I swear you've told me. Like, I didn't.
Maybe.
Big Chris, I remember you telling me that story.
So Juan and Kuz were recording at Get Fresh at the time.
This is before Chance fully went in.
They were recording at Get Fresh, and it was like my birthday or something. I had nothing going on my birthday, and Kuz like, pull up. So I pulled up. You were working with Juan at the time, and then Kuz came in after, and we were all kind of just hanging out, whatever. Yeah. It's like 3 in the morning at this point, dude. Like, they used to book some long sessions, right?
Late sessions.
And I'm sitting there. It's like 2, 3 in the morning. I'm, like, ready to go. Like, I'm tired. We've been there for, like, 5-6 hours at this point. I'm like, all right. And Kuz is like, it's your birthday, man. You want to go get in the booth?
Yeah.
I'm like, not really, dude. That was before, like, I was really, like, ever tried to record anything. No. It was dude, I walked in that booth, and I was terrible. I'm sure you were sitting there, like, 4 in the morning, like, what am I doing right now, bro? Like, I'm not going to lie. Because, like, I never wanted to be an artist, but I like writing. And so Kuz is like, get in the booth, man. Go ahead. It's your birthday. I'm like, all right, whatever. It's, like, 3 in the morning. I'm ready to go. I think I tried to, like, one take it, but that didn't end up happening. But I'm sure you were sitting there like, dude, this is the fuck.
I'm not going to lie. I probably was.
No, you probably were,
dude.
At four in the morning, I feel you. Like,
what am I doing right now?
Here,
yeah. But, no, I know that you are a Ferris State guy.
Yeah.
Just found out that you actually started off in music making beats.
Yeah.
And, well, you were also playing football. I didn't know that. So just kind of before music came into the play, run me through your upbringing, you know, where you're from, what you were doing as a kid, because I only met you that one night.
Yeah.
Haven't really got to, like, sit down and actually talk with you, like, learn more about you. So, like, your upbringing, you know, what were you doing as a kid before music came into the play?
Man, it was just all sports, bro. Before I get into that, shout out to fucking
Juan and Kuz, man.
I miss those guys.
Fucking guys. Awesome,
I swear he should have blew up by now.
Juan?
But, you know, things happen, but I know he's still making music.
I know you vouch for him hard, too, bro.
That's my guy, bro. But, I mean, yeah, growing up, it was just all ball. I thought I was going to the NFL, got to Ferris, and then, you know, you just, once you get to a certain level, you realize just how things work, and that just wasn't in the cards for me. Man.
Right.
But I wasn't much of a brainiac either, so.
Where are you from originally, like, before you went out to Ferris?
Man, Detroit, bro, okay. right, like, Linwood and, like, South of Sale Garden area, like, over there. But
what high school?
So,
I'm sorry,
So I went to Oak Park.
Okay.
When I was living in Detroit, but when I lived in Detroit, I moved with my football, like, my little league coach. Like, we were super tight, and I moved with him. He ended up getting locked up, so I had to move with my mom, and she had moved to Utica.
Okay.
So I graduated from Utica High School, but you know, honestly, that was a blessing, because if I didn't go to Utica, I don't even think I would have really went to college, to be honest. Like, I don't know what I would have been doing.
Ferris at that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, man. So, life got a weird way of just working out the way it needs
to
be.
Yeah,
right.
So, but, got to Ferris, did 4 years at Ferris, failed out. And, you know, that was kind of, like, sobering as hell, because I'm like, damn, what the fuck do I do now? But, luckily, man, I had good people around me. I had a friend named Rick that rapped. Felix rapped too, but we weren't.
He said you were the final boss in your frat. He said you were the top G there.
I was like my third and fourth year, bro. Yeah, because I was vice president, and then the fourth year I was kind of just around. You know what I'm saying? So, but I definitely just was the guy who kind of just whipped everybody in line. You know, real leadership type role.
Right.
But it's kind of crazy though, like the fact that, like, it's just. you just 20, 21 years old. You got this whole house to yourself, just doing, just drinking, just doing drugs, just doing wild shit.
Fucking wild.
College is insane.
College was crazy.
Like, it really is. But yeah, man, my boy Rick rapped. And one day I was just like, shit, bro, I ain't got shit else to do. Let's start making music.
Yeah.
Man. Got a keyboard, got me a laptop. We was just sitting in this basement, just going to work. And then, yeah, Big Chris was born, bro. And then I think the next year Felix got initiated and then found out he made music. I'm like, bro, you rap? Like, let's work, man. And we've been locked in ever since.
He was saying your whole frat was full of musicians and artists. And
Yeah. It was actually, it was a lot of guys, because a lot of guys, like EDM was super big. We had some Grizz always came like every year to Ferris or some shit. So EDM was big. We had a lot of guys that DJ, a lot of guitarists, a few rappers. I recorded and produced. My boy Baker, he recorded too. So yeah, it was a lot of people in that field, but nobody really was like super serious.
Yeah. What were you studying at Ferris?
Marketing.
Marketing. Okay. So it plays hand in hand with what you're doing nowadays. Yeah. So
I'm good with people. I'm good with people, but don't like people type. Right.
That's the kind of the point I'm making.
Yeah, no, I get like that. I can talk to people all day, but after a while, I'm like, all right, bro. Like, you know.
Yeah.
What I mean?
So what was it like going from, you know, Detroit more city, Utica more city, going out into Ferris State? Was it kind of a culture shock?
It was different as hell. The first weekend.
It's the middle of nowhere, man.
The first fucking weekend, they had a deer hanging from the tree, skinning a deer. The same frat that I joined, but we had a different house, bro. And I was like, yo.
I don't know if I'm supposed to be.
It's wild up here, bro. I wish I did some research on Big Rapids, too, because at the time, it really wasn't much. You know, so.
Well, what year is this? I went and visited there in
2010, bro.
Yeah, I went and visited there in like 2019. Yeah, I had a few buddies that went there from Grand Valley or high school.
High school.
High school was 2019.
Okay.
So I went out there, you know, like 19, 20, 21.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, I was talking with Felix about that. We were kind of messing with each other because we're like rivals or whatever.
Yeah, that's dope.
How were you guys in football when you were there?
Even funnier. So, I remember my senior year going to Wayne State for recruitment. Ferris was getting blown out like 49-7, bro. Me and Coach Smith, we was just like, what the fuck, bro? And then Ferris, they showed a lot of interest in me, but the next year they wouldn't give me a scholarship. So I pretty much walked on, redshirted my first year, and then the next year they wouldn't give me a scholarship, so I just quit.
Okay.
And then it's funny because the year after that, Coach Pierce came. Or no, Anise came, and then Ferris was just been balling ever since he came.
I was gonna say they got some national championships under their belt.
Yeah,
don't
so I'm 2 years removed from that. But honestly, if I probably wouldn't have made that team anyway, so it's whatever.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because I know them and Grand Valley are usually like the top dogs in D2 football.
Yeah, man. It's crazy what they're doing now.
They
bro.
Just won a national natty in basketball not too long ago too.
Oh, did they?
Ferris did. Yeah, when I was in college, I think I want to say like my sophomore year. So I went to Grand Valley from 2019. When I graduated in 2023. Yeah, but there's talks about them going D1 because so many kids go to that school now, dude, because it's just Grand Rapids is a nice place.
Yeah.
The thing with Big Rapids, I went and visited there a few times, like I said, had a few buddies. It's in the middle of nowhere, but it's also, this is what I said to Felix, it's like in the middle of everything. Like you can go to Central Michigan, you know, it's like 45 minutes, if that. You can go to Grand Rapids 45 minutes. Like, there's places that you can go in and have a good time.
I wanted to ask while we were on, like, sports. How do you feel about Detroit sports?
Bro,
I mean,
I'm loving it.
The Tigers are doing good.
I'm loving it.
The Pistons playoffs about to start.
I want to go to a game
bro. It's like $170 a ticket.
I found some for like $120, $130.
Really? Yeah.
Probably the worst.
I'm trying to get in the game, bro.
But it's good. It's a good feeling, man. Like even when like all last year, when the Lions were winning, like it's electric, bro. You wake up like it's 100. A fucking game on. It's
lights
a playoff
the city
game.
Up,
we
dude.
We know we about to win. Like the Knicks, they beatable, bro. We can beat them.
We beat them a few times this year.
Yeah, we can beat them.
I'm in. They got some star power on their side.
We got a 2K Discord that we talk and play video games, and we talk about this all the time because we got a kid in there that's a Lakers fan. Shout out Zendem. Fuck you. Because he'll go, bro, like, the Knicks in six, dog. Knicks got him. And I'm like, what? And
you can't really
like,
get your own
bro,
homegrown team.
Nah,
man.
Bro. He's full Lakers. Like, he's like, Pistons have to win a playoff game first. I'm like, you're fake as fuck.
That's wild.
But
that's
he goes,
wild.
Bro, Knicks got Josh Hart. And I'm like, that's who you say first? That's who we're worried about? Like, I fuck with Josh Hart.
I would have rather faced the Pacers just because of our history.
I feel you, but I think we match up better against New York.
I do too.
I think, who the fuck is stopping Cade on that team? I think Tyrese would have a better chance of stopping Cade than, like, Brunson or
Hart. We do got that grit on our side, man. Like, we play hard, man.
What's the big man they got over there, bro?
Cat?
Turner? No.
Oh, Miles Turner.
Oh, Miles Turner, yeah.
Bro, nasty, bro. Nasty. Like, yeah, he's nasty. And I don't know who going – we wouldn't have an answer for
him. Isaiah Stewart just has to punch him in the face.
I was worried about Siakam. I was worried about Siakam. Because I was like, who the fuck on our young-ass team is going to guard
that dude?
Bro,
but he can't shoot, though. He can't shoot.
Siakam's
true. So it's like, you know he about to go – it's paint game, really.
That is true.
Tyrese is nice, man. I like Tyrese. I like watching Tyrese.
Fuck with Tyrese.
I said Isaiah Stewart. Did you see he was recording at Royal House? He just made a
song.
Stu,
yeah. Speaking of Stewart.
Okay, I got a funny story. So, like, a month ago, fucking J-Mo booked a set. So, a photographer I knew or met in the studio hit me up, was like, hey, J-Mo want to book a session. He's done this to me 2 or 3 times before, and he never pulled up or it never worked out, whatever. But this particular night, I was already at the studio. I'm like, all right, cool. I'll see him there. Guy pulls up. He pulls up in, like, a white Subaru. Everything was good. I'm like, yeah, y'all can park right here. And then, so I went back in to the studio, like, just waited by the door thinking they would just
come in.
Yeah. I wait like 5 minutes. I go back outside and I watch them pull off. And I'm like, why the fuck would they leave? You came all the way here. Why would you?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, man, like, the only thing I could think of, and this has happened to me before with another big artist, is that if you ever been to Get Fresh, it's like, it's not sketchy, but it's you wouldn't think it's a studio in it.
You talking about behind? Yeah, the back with the stairs? Yeah, yeah,
okay,
okay.
Looked in it, looked at it and was like, bro, what the fuck is this shit, bro? Like, because I had a girl from Atlanta, Bree something, but she was like, it looked like a fucking trap house with a studio in it over here. Like,
those be the best studios though.
But
I was gonna say inside,
it's great.
No, I was gonna say inside, it's nice, man. Like,
that's a weird, just was a weird situation. Yeah. That just reminded me. Like, man, I really was looking forward to seeing, like, you know,
J-Mo.
What you got?
Yeah,
yeah. And then they go to Royal House, and that bums me out because I've lost big clients because of that, bro. Just because the facility is not
up to par,
up to
or whatever.
Par.
Right.
Yeah, man. And it's difficult because, like, that shit, like, Royal House is a $1 million studio, bro. Like, when I was in Miami going to recording at Criteria Studios and Paramount, Interscope Records, I couldn't even imagine how $2 million, $3 million, $4 million for these studios, bro. Like, it's insane the shit that people are working with. And the bigger clients are just all you. These rich people are used to that. And, like, even when I had Lil Yachty, I'm glad he ended up coming in. But, like, you could just tell, like, he really didn't. He wasn't fucking with it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it just wasn't his usual vibe. YTB Fat, he wanted to book a sesh. He was like, yeah, send me a picture of the studio. Sent it to him. Never heard from him. I had some guys, under 21 Savage, a guy named Sin, I forget the other artists, but, you know, they came in, but you could just tell, like, they just weren't really comfortable with this.
Right.
And it's just cause it's nothing glamorous. We don't have fucking snacks.
But the thing is,
for you shit like that,
but,
you know?
But the thing is, like, it's still the quality of music still there, bro.
But,
like,
but it's like they want all the amenities too, because they're used to that lifestyle, bro. Especially when, I don't know if you guys ever been to Atlanta, bro. It's studios everywhere.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised to hear that, because like Atlanta, especially like in the last 10 years,
10-15
really
years.
You both make music, man. Go out of state and record, and just get a sense of the different vibes at different places, bro. Like, engineers work so differently in other studios.
Yep.
They operate so different.
Yeah.
Clients are used to so many different things than we are used to here in Michigan.
Is that? I'm not gonna say pet peeve, but, like, are there things that, like, you don't have to call anyone out in specific, but, like, clients just, like, you're like, why are you doing it that way? Or, like, it's, like, interesting to see them doing it a certain way? Or you get what I'm trying to ask?
If it works, I'm all for it.
Right.
But when it's bad, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
It's like wasting time type shit.
I respect that everybody has their own process, but if it's not sounding good, it's not working, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Like,
That makes sense.
Yeah, I get that. Last thing on sports, because we wanted to go back to that. No, you're good. I was going to ask, were you getting recruited by any other schools or like?
So the reason why I end up going or choosing Ferris, I was getting looked at by a bunch of D3 schools like Adrian.
Yep.
Alma, all that stuff in the Midwest, whatever. But I don't know. I just wanted to just play D2. I just thought I was better than that, bro. I probably would have dominated D3. That's probably really where my caliber was at.
If you got highlights, I'm popping them up on the screen right now.
And that's what's fucked up, bro, because I grew up at a time where like social media
wasn't a thing.
Yeah, like it was cool. Everybody had a Facebook, but it wasn't like how it is now, bro. Like recruiting and putting highlight tapes together, we couldn't do that. You can do that shit yourself.
Yeah.
Nowadays.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah. Now.
What position did you play?
DN, outside linebacker.
Okay. Yeah.
I bet you had some highlights.
Bro, I loved, man. I was good, bro. Like, that was the thing. Like, I was probably, I think me and this kid named Brian were the only ones our senior year that even had a chance of playing.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just certain things. Even when I would go to combines, like, University of Toledo, I remember going against these linemen, like, bro.
You got it.
it just, it was my first time being like, I don't know, Chris. Like, yeah. This dude was a 6'7", 300 pounds.
Units,
bro,
dude.
Move, bro. Like, but sometimes you gotta, what was good about that, it was like my first dose of like reality and understanding, like, lower your expectations, because I was heartbroken, bro. I was legit depressed.
That was your love, right? That was your love.
Yeah, like, when I quit. But I quit because I knew I wasn't going to get the scholarship, and also because, like, I needed money, man. I needed to work. I wasn't, you know, mommy wasn't helping me, bro.
I'm glad you bring that up because I wanted to ask. I mean, obviously, you didn't get the full, like, D1 experience, but the NIL stuff, how do you feel about that?
Man, I think it's dope, bro. Like that kid Bryce that just got Bryce $10 million to play.
Holy shit.
I think it's more.
I think it's dope. Money. I think it's a lot. It's going to be kind of dangerous because it's new, because everybody's trying to learn like how to.
They got
to
put a cap on it.
That was my thing. I was going to say, people should only be able to make a certain amount of money. And if they are making.
Bro, nobody even.
They're making more than the NFL players. Bro. They're making more than the NFL players.
Underwood is.
Making more than the coach.
He could walk out on the field.
I hope he's not a bus.
That's what I'm saying. He could walk out on the field, have a decent Michigan career, maybe win a Natty, maybe win a Rose Bowl,
he's still chilling.
And then never play a snap in the NFL, and he's fine.
No. If he were to never play a snap just because he didn't want to, he'd be better off to get drafted, sign that fucking bonus check,
and then
get out of it. But
I was going to say this about Isaiah Stewart. That was the one thing I was going to say. Yeah. We were talking about Miles Turner. Y'all see what he said to him when they were gotten into a fight? So Indiana and them were like in a scuffle. And Isaiah Stewart walked off the bench, walked right up to Miles Turner and goes, "Ain't you that dude that plays with Legos?" And then just walked away. There's a clip of it. You can literally see that that's what he said. Stu's about it.
Stu's a goon. If he was a hockey guy, he'd just be a goon.
Yeah.
Just an enforcer, bro.
Years ago when we drafted him, I said that he's going to be – because, like, okay, like, if I was like, oh, he's going to be our Ben Wallace. No, like, okay, relax.
But he plays that
he's
role.
He's our Udonis Haslam.
Yeah. He plays that role.
But you need that and on every team, bro. You need a guy like, don't fuck with us.
Yeah.
You need that grit. You need – because
he's that glue guy, man.
Yeah, you need that, though.
And we got a couple now.
And it's value, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Ron Holland's kind of like
you
that.
You need maybe, like, two, but everybody else, we need y'all to actually put points on
the table. I like that we all like that, though. We all have that mentality. Yeah, we're not going to set – like, Jalen Duren. For example.
Right. I like Jalen.
Jordan Poole goes over and pushes him, and Jalen just turns to him. If I can find the clip, I'm putting it right here.
When he got drafted, I was so hyped because I knew he was the youngest player in the draft. I've seen what he can do in college. I've seen what he could do in high school. Well, in college, he didn't play too much, right?
No. At Memphis? I think he
was with Amani at the time, right?
Yeah, I think
he played, but like I don't think it was like anything like too crazy. No. But I was hyped when we drafted him.
I mean, he still went top 10 though, so he had to have done something.
No,
it was funny. I seen Josh Jackson. You remember him? When he was with the Pistons.
One of the best high school mixtapes of all time.
But he wasn't really doing shit when he was with us. So I was like, man, I would see him in public because he would like hang out with Sada or they have events or something. Just be like, what a fucking bum.
That's when the Pistons were ass.
And then when I see him with the Rockets, he's balling. The Rockets are great right now. I'm like, what the fuck? Why? Yeah. I don't know.
I remember when the Suns got him, and I was pissed because I wanted Detroit to get him because I knew he was from here. Yeah. He balled out at Kansas, and I was like, we need a two guard that we can just give the ball and go to work. and then he did not pan out in Phoenix. But I bet it was dope for him to come back and play for Detroit for a little bit, because like we weren't that good. I think that was when like our best players were him, Jeremy Grant, and like Mason Plumlee. Oh,
Killian Hayes.
Don't get me started with Josh Jackson, though, because he was supposed to go to Michigan State and end up going to Kansas.
Yeah, that's another thing.
I was sick. That's fucked up. I was sick. I'm a State fan.
Devin Booker did us dirty, too.
Oh, did they like commit and then pulled out?
I don't think Josh Jackson fully committed, but I know he was like seriously like heavily debating.
Guys really coming don't do to Izzo. That back then. I don't think so.
No, it wasn't big of a thing.
It's more common now because
it's the transfer portal and the NIL stuff. It ties like, right
guys,
back into that.
Guys will commit. Like Amani, he committed to Sparty and then decommitted before
I was
he even
sick
played
about that
again.
One
yeah,
too.
That one hurt.
But it's EMU, right?
Yeah. And so, now he's in the
no.
League,
he went. He went from Memphis
to EMU.
To EMU.
And then
he got drafted late. He just put up like 30 points the other night.
It's a weird move, though. Why? I didn't know he was supposed to go to Michigan State.
He committed. He was on ESPN, put the hat. Like, they filmed. Like, they had, like, a whole segment. Filmed him. I'm going to Michigan State next year.
I wonder what made him go to
EMU. There was rumors. Because I heard that he wanted to go pro. Like, he was going to think about going pro straight out. Like, he was going
to
go overseas.
You'd have to go. Yeah, I was going to say, you'd have to
go
overseas.
So, there was rumors that he was going to, like, he was just committing to Michigan State just to have that and, like, okay, I can go to Michigan State if I need to, but if something else presents itself, I can go somewhere else.
Right.
And I think Memphis's whole thing at the time was,
well,
like,
they had Penny, like,
let's get you ready for the draft. Like, that's what Memphis became those couple years.
I mean, he only played a few games.
Yeah, but, like,
that's
I mean,
that Memphis team didn't do too much.
Oh, no.
What's the light-skinned guy from Kenny Lofton, right? Didn't he play?
Kenny Lofton? He was
didn't he play for Memphis?
Oh, Kenneth Lofton.
Yeah.
Kenny Lofton's a baseball player.
That's like,
buddy.
The NF MVP
for
the,
in,
the Chinese League.
Yeah, hey, I couldn't think of the league.
I don't know how
Cassius
not
Winston.
In the league. Oh,
Cash Winston's been balling out overseas. Mac McClung in the G League, averaging like 40 points a night. How are you not playing?
Bro, that stuff honestly blew my mind. But like we were saying, like at different levels, you can ball out. But it's like when you get to the elite, the big time, bro, it's
a whole different ball game, dude.
We were talking.
It
really is.
Kuz, actually. Yeah, he brought it up in the group chat the other night. Oh, it might have been D1, but Kuz like was in the conversation.
Uh-huh.
He said, who would be the best NBA player ever if it was just white guys? Larry?
It's gotta be Larry.
I mean, but like we specified, we said like Luka counts.
I mean, do Europeans count?
Yeah, because
that's not a white
like,
guy though. But like, I get what you're saying though, like the complexity
like
of his
white,
skin.
White
like,
Americans or if, are
white Americans, bro? I'm in the league.
If white Americans for sure, Larry, bro.
Yeah,
no,
it's gotta be Larry.
If it's American, sure, 100%.
European,
I would
though?
Even say John Stockton might be number two,
bro. Austin Reeves,
Austin Reeves.
We were just naming white guys.
2020,
I was like, bro,
Alex
Jason
Caruso,
Williams is Magic Johnson.
Like, yeah,
yeah. Because honestly, it's hard to say. Outside of like who's really was a like a white American superstar outside of Larry Bird for real, like a super white American superstar.
You're saying like
bro.
superstar.
Yeah, like immediately because
you got hoopers like Tyler Hero's a hooper, JJ Redick was a hooper,
for sure.
But it's like Dragic, I love Dragic, but it's like.
Dragic was a dog.
I know. That's just funny. I know. It's just funny. He's like, Dragic.
Yeah, he's a dog.
Like, I was not expecting Goran Dragic to be sad.
Yeah, that was a pool right there.
It's not a whole lot of superstars.
It's just Larry. It's low-key just like, unless.
You kind of like Jerry West.
Yeah. Bob Cousy.
But that's
that's like the 50s.
Yeah, like.
And then, but okay, so if you throw in Europeans.
You got like Dirk.
You got Jokic, living Hall of Fame, two living Hall of Famers, and then Dirk.
Steve Nash,
Luka.
But that's
Canada.
Canada, right?
Yeah.
So like that wouldn't count for U.S.
Right.
But that's probably he's up there.
Because I think Dirk got the hardest ring, bro, out of anybody. Like
personally,
say that.
The people you had to beat,
dude.
I put
it was who did he beat? What were the teams he
Brandon
beat?
Brandon Roy. And Portland first.
Yeah.
He had that.
The
Lakers. Beat
the
Lakers.
Champion Lakers.
Yeah.
Swept them.
Yeah.
And then
Thunder.
Thunder.
Swept
yeah, it was the Thunder.
Swept them too.
Swept the Thunder.
Yeah.
Like, and then win and beat Miami.
Miami
if you look at the guys that he had to beat on that run, the only guy that I can compare that has something similar is if you go back and look at those old Bad Boys days.
Yeah.
Because Isaiah
the
80s was being,
days. Yeah.
Isaiah
yeah.
was being
yes,
Larry,
bro.
Then
yeah.
Mike, and then
the
he would be
only
Magic.
Team in the 80s
that would
to beat to – It was different.
Put some fucking respect on the Pistons name. Bro. We are coming.
Seriously.
Pause.
Pistons are up next.
We're
heavy pause on
that. Yeah, I'm sorry. We getting a rant.
Felix said it like five times.
Bro, the it's so funny. Gage did too.
Yeah, Gage did say it a few times. Man. But no, enough with the sports. I want to jump back into music a little bit. When does Get Fresh come into play? When do you meet Mike? You know, like, how does that relationship start, and when do you get into the building?
So, man, that shit came about kind of crazy because I ended up.
Is this right after football? Like right after college?
So this is 4 years. So this is 4 years after football. There's 4 years that pass, and then I flucked out, right? And I'm just working job to job.
So this is like what, like 2014, 2015? Yep.
What were you doing?
I was working at a liquor store at this time. And I remember even before then, like I worked at B-Dubs for like 7 years. I was driving to Big Rapids to Grand Rapids every day to manage the Celebration store. That shit was the worst. But
you guys have said Big Rapids on here like nine times.
Bro, it used to be the spot, bro. Like it's a good place to party, dog.
I have absolutely no idea. I almost pulled out my map. I'm like, is there a Big Rapids?
It's like
Grand Rapids?
It's like
right here. Is it called Big Rapids? Is that actually the name of the city? Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyways, you're working at B-Dubs liquor store.
And even then, like I just one day I was just somebody said something to me. I'm like, bro, I don't need this. Like, I'm ready to do music. Like, that was just the point. I was like, yeah, I'm not about to just be an employee, bro.
Because you had already been cooking up. Were you engineering at this time?
I was already making beats. I was pretty good at making beats at the time.
Were you engineering too?
Nope. Okay. So, and then after that, the B-Dubs gig, I went and worked at a liquor store. Now, the significance of the liquor store, I was finessing from the liquor store. I was finessing lottery tickets from the liquor store, bro. Ooh. So.
Do people know this? Like, is this,
it's
good
whatever.
To be
it's been what fucking.
I feel like the time.
It's been 10 years now. But yeah, man, I was finessing, just taking lottery tickets from the safe, bro.
Like scratchers.
Like I would activate them at the store, and then the next morning I would just hit all the Myers, like all down 131. But wild times, bro. But at the time, like I did it once, and I was like, damn. I can't believe I got away with that. Did it again, got away with it. And I'm like, fuck, bro. Like, I don't know if they don't. Either they're not looking at the cameras because I'm smack dead on camera doing this.
Yeah.
Either that or they just aren't looking.
Aren't paying attention.
Bro, the paranoia of every day being like, bro, one day I'm going to wake up just in the middle of the night. Police going to be at my house. Like, that shit sucked. But anyway, the significance of that was because I end up getting enough money to where I could put some money behind Felix. So I quit that gig. Eventually, I was like, bro, my luck gonna run out. I gotta stop doing this. And, I forget how we end up at Get Fresh, because we was going to River City Studios in Grand Rapids. How did we end up at Get Fresh?
River City Studios, where's that at?
That's right on, I think it's River Street and something. It's right downtown. It's right off the river, though.
Right by the Blue Bridge?
Yeah, it's like it's River Street or something like that, bro. But it's right by a park. Hmm. But it's a dope studio, though. River City Studios. It's a guy named start with an A. I can't remember. But anyway, I think, damn, I don't remember, bro, how we end up finding Get Fresh. But once we get to Get Fresh, anyway, we do a couple sessions with Emilio. It was good. Yep. We dropped Felix's first mixtape at Get Fresh with Emilio. I had a few beats on there. I was trying to, I don't know what I was thinking, bro. I came in the game at the worst way possible, trying to throw money at it. Like, that was terrible. That was the worst. Anybody out there trying to make music, do not throw money thinking that you're going to force your way into the industry. It don't work like that.
I was going to say, drop some gems right now for what you mean by that for someone watching that might
be
doing
tried. We've tried.
Do not do that, dog. Do not do that. Because I was.
Can you explain why to the people?
Because it don't mean shit at the end of the day. like you buying a feature, you as a no-name artist, you buying a feature from. Okay, a comparison, like a Lil Durk or something, right? Okay, cool. You did a song with Lil Durk, right? But it's so much more beyond that to make that song really blow up. And to be a thing. Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean. It really don't mean shit. You're better off putting that same amount of money and building up your own equity within yourself, your own fan base, and then going to go do something like that.
Yep.
I came in the game thinking like, shit, nigga, I'm about to go hit up so-and-so and so-and-so, get beats from Metro, get beats from 808 Perp, which I did get in contact with these people. I did do songs at the time, like Montana 300 was a big thing.
Yeah. I remember that name.
But we did a bunch of songs with a lot of bigger artists, bro. I can't even, like Snapdog, probably $10,000, I think, for that Reason song, bro. Like between the video, paying him for the video shoot and the feature, I think it was like $10,000, like all that. So I was just throwing money in that shit, and it helped for sure, but it's like, it really was a waste, because it's like it was good for the moment, but how many of those fans actually stayed, you know what I'm saying? How many of them fans
became one of yours?
Was just there for the hype off of other people's name, you know what I mean? So that's what I'm like, build up equity within yourself first as an artist, you know, try to get, you know, a good name on your own before you start really getting with big features, trying to get with big artists.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, because I pissed away a lot of money that I didn't need to, but it was a good learning experience
how old are you at this time?
23, 24. Right. You know, I had probably like 40, 50,000, just blowing that shit in the industry, just trying to figure out how to make shit work. Flying all over the fucking country, shooting videos in LA, thinking that's the shit that you need to do, and it's not. It's not at all. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. It was a learning experience. I had a good time though. So yeah, that's how I look at it. It was definitely fun, bro. Cause me and Sada talk about that all the time. You know, the way we met. He's the only person, I think I'm the only person I've ever seen him literally write a verse for. He never writes. But he wrote a verse for us. I don't know what
podcast shorts.
I swear. he only freestyles, bro. I've never seen him sit down and write something for nobody. No, bro. He took his time, like 40 minutes, and just punched that bitch in. I swear to God. And I don't know if it was just in the song. If you listen to the verse on Reason, it's one of his best verses he ever did.
I think that's what Felix said. He's like, that's one of my favorite Sada Baby verses of all time.
That song should have been bigger. But again, like, this was in the beginning. If I had that same amount of money now with what I knew and the connections I have, and if I put that behind the artist, I think I could really do something for sure. But you gotta just go through it. You gotta go through the motions to know to how to navigate through this industry.
So when does Mike take the chance on you? Like, when did that relationship start?
Man, just me being a good, consistent client to him, I think, was really the big thing. So when we start going, like, I'm coming all the time, like every week, and then like I'm paying you like $3,000, you know, for like 100 hours at a time or whatever the fuck it was.
Right.
So I think he just, the trust was there. He knew I wasn't on no bullshit. He knew like this was really what I was trying to do. And yeah, I just got to the point where I interned with him for about 3 months. I love Mike to death. I think he overstates how much he showed me, because I was always doing it at my house too. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of that I learned on my own. But as far as like how to engineer and how to work with clients and how to operate in the studio, I give him all that credit.
Right.
And I needed him for that. And I really thank God for him, because like, he really let me do whatever the fuck I want. Like, he trusts me enough to know that I'm not gonna do anything that's gonna hurt his business.
Right.
Yeah.
You need that too, man.
Yeah, you need that, bro. On a team, and though, I know that I'm not gonna, like, if I went to another studio, it's never gonna be like that.
Right.
And that's the reason why I never left, because I know Mike, like, that's my dog. Like, at this point, we damn near partners without being really partners.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's nothing that's happening that he don't at least run by me or let me know what's going on, and vice versa.
The voices are heard on both sides. Yeah,
100%, man. Like, I've seen him, you know, in his journey in life. You know, he used to drink a lot, you know, sober as a judge. And
I was going to say, his I've seen like his transformation photos and stuff, man. That's really impressive. Like
he take care of himself now, and that is beautiful. But we both have seen each other at our worst and at our best.
And you guys are just growing together. Yeah, it's the growing pains, man.
And I really, as much as we get on each other's nerves, at the end of the day, I really appreciate and value that relationship.
Right. Of course,
because you don't really get that in somebody who just accepts you. Like he genuinely just accepts me.
For who you are.
For who I am. Yeah. And vice versa, bro. And that's shit.
And you're going to fight with your team members. Yeah. Like, that happens. Right,
but you need that shit, too, at the same time. That's the only way you grow through that shit, man.
And I always say, if you have a fight with somebody and if you can't come back together after that, that's not really your homeboy.
Yeah. It wasn't meant to. You weren't supposed to work together.
even with a girlfriend, like, if y'all can't have a dispute or argument and figure that shit out.
It
wasn't it.
It wasn't meant to be.
Yeah.
While working at Get Fresh, you've worked with people like Yachty, Trey Songz, Herbo, Sada, Skilla, Taybee, Cash Doll. I mean, the list goes on. Yeah. You know, how does that come about? I'm curious, like, what your sessions are like with those types of people, with, you know, the bigger music industry names. Yeah. Just what's it like working with those types of people? You know, looking back on it, when you first started making beats, like, you ever think you'd be working in the studio with people like that? You know what I mean? Like.
No. Man,
like you were working at a liquor store. Now you're a billboard charting engineer, bro. Like, that's crazy.
I think about that shit all the time because I started music late. I always tell people, if you started music before 24, you're already ahead of me, so to speak. You know what I'm saying?
Like, it's wild.
So it was a blessing, man. For anybody listening, right? For any engineers who are wondering how can I get
in those rooms,
that point, bro. Be competent. That's the best quality I can say as an engineer. Can you do the job? You don't have to be the best engineer. You don't have to be fucking Alex Toumet. Can you record it, make this shit sound how I need it to sound? Can you do the shit that I need you to do? That's really it. That's why these big clients fuck with me, because I don't overcomplicate things. I keep things very simple. I make sure that you got whatever you need, as far as, like, you know, when you come up to the session, like, whatever, like, I'm easy to work with. And I've seen a lot of other engineers just make shit too complicated, or just, you're not focused, you're not on the top of your game. I seen Tiana Taylor's engineer yell at her engineer at Paramount, bro. Like, I was like, yeesh, you know what I'm saying? But dude wasn't paying attention. She trying to tell him to do something. You not doing it. You not listening to her, bro. But you not being competent. You not being on your job.
Yeah.
You know? But, man, it kind of was a chain, man. I got with Sada. Got that relationship with Sada. Sada brought me Yachty. He brought me Skilla, too, you know.
Bobby. Wait, so did you work on the Michigan?
No. The Yachty tape? So that was after.
Okay.
So I got Sada. Sada is bringing me Skilla all the time. So me and Skilla are also developing a good relationship. I recorded a lot of his shit, at least like 4 or 5 of his mixtapes, right? But now that he's huge, everybody who's in the city is always like, hey, what studio you go to? Whoop, whoop, whoop. They're hitting me up. So that's how, like, No Cap came into play. Trey Songz had
that's
a show.
Fire, bro. Trey Songz is fire.
Yeah.
A legend, man.
But see, the funny thing about Trey Songz, I have a cousin. He's my second cousin. His name is Trayvon Waters. Lived with Trey Songz, bro.
Oh, like, wow.
Trayvon's a crazy singer.
Oh, okay.
He's super good. Wrote some of Trey Songz, Trey Songz. So when I met him, I'm like, hey, you know my cousin, you work with my cousin, Trayvon. And he was like, you know Trayvon? I'm like, yeah, I know. His mom, Tracy, that's my aunt.
Yeah.
Whatever. Like, so instantly that was a connection. But almost with him too, like, I could just tell it's not his usual cup of tea. Like,
right.
That's all. But it was a good session. I didn't even record him, technically. I didn't know he records himself.
Mm.
So, like, he is actually really proficient with Pro Tools.
Yeah. Wow, so, I didn't know that.
I would do Skilla parts, and he just did his own stuff. Because he already knows how he wants his stuff to go. And it's a lot of guys like that, man. It's a lot of guys like you ever heard of producer Go Grizz?
Yeah.
Or London on the track, man? Yep. You know, these guys, they just know music. So if something's not right, I've seen them just move people out the way. Like, move, I got this, bro. Like, let me do something. Like, that's kind of how he was. Like, no, I got it. Let me do this. And that's cool. A lot of engineers have egos about that shit. They want to be, nah, bro, this job is never about you.
Right.
Like, yeah. This song, this session, it's not about you.
Right.
If he knows what he wants and you can't do it, just let him do it.
Let him do it, yeah.
Don't have an ego about it, bro.
Yeah. And if anything, you're learning something from someone. You know what I mean?
Like,
you're
learning that. And that's what I mean by, like, being competent, bro. I've seen engineers' egos, bro, get in the way of good sessions, yeah. Bro, because you think, okay, you think this is how this song is supposed to be. Listen to what the fuck the client is telling you, bro. That's right. Not what they want. And then you're becoming argumentative, and then you're creating a problem, and you don't even realize
when there doesn't need to be one at the end of the day. Right.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, that's probably the best skill I could say for anybody, bro. That's how I get all these repeat clients, because they know and trust, like, I'm not going to make shit difficult. I know what I'm doing. I'm about my business. Let's do this song. Let's get to work. I don't fuck around when it come to that. So
right.
That's really what it is, man. Just take care of business.
Right. You know? I was going to ask you, because I know that I saw on your Instagram you were doing a little tour. You traveled quite a bit in the last month or two.
Yeah.
So run me through a little bit of that. What were you doing?
So January 20th, it really wasn't a tour. He was just, we were working on Skilla's album that's coming out. And he just happened to have some shows while we was out of town. So, but it was a good experience, man. It was dope.
So you got to work with was it C-Note?
Yeah, dog.
That's dope. All right,
I'm gonna get to that. I'm gonna get to that because I got it. The C-Note part is gonna be a whole it's a section in itself. But, the experience was great, bro. Like, going out of town with an artist that you watched literally from nothing to something, bro, is amazing, bro. I'm so really blessed to be able to be a part of that, man. And that shit is fire, but it's like, it's a lot, bro. It's a lot. I smoke weed all the time, bro. I've smoked since I was 17. I never was paranoid until I got out of town with Skilla and was working with these. So I met Thug and Future, bro. Like,
that's dope.
So we walked in on a Future session. Like, that's the type of circles, bro, I was in. So it was a bit intimidating, bro. I can't deny that shit. Like, I was nervous as shit. Like, just always wiping my hands because, like, I need these songs to come out perfect. Like, these are career changing sessions that I literally have worked my whole life to get in. So, I just stopped smoking around like the third day, bro, because like the paranoia, like I usually smoke in sessions. Nope. I will never do that when I'm with like a big artist, because I just get too much in my head. I can't relax because they don't know me. Like,
yeah.
You know, and, I don't know them.
Nervous to talk and shit.
Yeah, like. Bro, 100%. And then like Thug, Alex Tumay said that Thug doesn't like when engineers smoke in sessions.
Oh, really?
Throws their focus off, probably. Probably feels like he's not doing his job to, like, his best ability.
I hear stories all the time about engineers like that, for sure. So, but they don't know me, and they don't know that I'm not like that. But whatever. It just was one of the things where I'm like, okay, I got to just stay focused for this period. But the songs we did came out dope. So, like, I'll say, like, the second day we were in Miami, we were in Hitmaker Studio.
Uh-huh.
So we go, it's 2 p.m., we go all the way to 6:30 in the morning. We got kicked out the studio at 6 a.m. Like, they was like, all right, they cut, hit the switches, everything. But the very last song, I just shit the bed on, bro. Like, I deleted a part or something that Skilla needed, and I'm like, I don't know where it's at, but my mind, I'm fried, bro. Like, we already partying, I'm off 5 hours of sleep, bro. Like, that was the last song of the night, and I just shit the bed on that. And I was even more mad because it was in front of C-Note. But it's not like C-Note did not just see me do 10 other songs perfectly.
Right.
That was all bangers. So it's not, some stuff is like, you just, like I said, we human, bro. Like,
it happens.
If younger me, that would
have. We human. The fucking camera just went out, bro.
And that's another thing. I swear, when technology fails you, when you need it most. It's
supposed
it's,
to make our shit hurt. Easier,
exactly,
bro.
Exactly, dog.
What it's you like, doing?
What are you doing? I paid all this money for what?
I feel so bad right now, bro.
But it happens, bro. Like, trust me, bro.
Yeah.
No, my computer fucking crashes in the middle of sessions. God damn it, bro. Like, I get so mad. But anyway.
Dude, I'll be like in the middle of a beat. Forget to save that bitch. FL crashes. Man, I'd be sick as fuck.
Hurt, bro. Hurt. But, shit, man. But anyway, that whole trip, man, going to New York, going to North Carolina, you know, chilling with Moneybagg Yo and Ride 4-9, man, it was just good connections, man. Good to meet Willie and
Wallow and Gilly. And Wallow. Dude, I do that all the time.
Damn. I just saw the video. This is completely up. Yeah. Wallow, is that how you say it? He stopped his car on a bridge and got out of the car with the police officers because someone was about to jump, and he got out and like talked the guy off the ledge. Like, this just happened.
Well, he
like,
does that motivational speaking
bro,
stuff.
I mean, like, he was locked up for a while
it's
too,
like
wasn't
that.
He?
Yeah.
So he's probably got like story. Like, he probably tries to help whoever he can.
You watch his podcast, $1 million Worth of Game?
Bits and pieces. Bro. I'll see a lot of shorts.
Phenomenal.
I saw him talking, Gilly talking with Jeff Teague's guys, talking about all the NBA players that you can bust. And he was like, seven dudes on the Nets. Like, he was just naming. He was like, Reed Shepard. It was just funny.
It's something about, like, I lived next to a guy that did 20 years for a crime he didn't commit. His name is Marvin Cotton.
Damn. Dude, I could not imagine that.
It's, bro, it's. God.
That happens all the time. All the
yeah, it does.
Bro. But it's something about them, like their aura, their whole being, bro. After going through something like that, going through, if you really changed, I feel like it's just the vibe, your presence, man. It's like the authenticity when you talk to a person. You can feel that. It's like, it's real. I don't know, man. It's something
it's
about
the
it,
energy
but,
of someone,
but
bro.
But the same energy that Wallow has, that guy Marvin had. Like, we just talk forever, but I could listen to him forever because it's about real shit. Like,
right.
I believe every fucking word that you're saying because it's so authentic. Mm-hmm. That's what comes
that's
across.
The thing, too. A lot of guys that might get locked up, like, TK, for example, that did something stupid.
Dude, he's got 80 years.
Yeah, someone that did something stupid when they were young and now they're going to be in jail for however long. Those guys, a lot of the time, when you're a young, like 17, 18-year-old kid and you think you're the shit and you think and you end up in jail, someone's going to put you in your place pretty quick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, like, eventually I feel like it becomes a part of you.
Yeah.
Like, you know how to mind your business.
Yes,
you know how to not deal with shit. Like, they probably just go about their day. Like, you know what I mean?
I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because you're not the hot shit.
No,
you're not as hot as you think.
You're not that.
Man's
jail,
not hot.
That's for sure.
Man's not
hot. What's the schedule look like for stuff that you can speak on? You know, upcoming music, projects, events, anything you got in the schedule that you can speak on?
To be honest, bro, it's not a whole lot, really. I've been kind of like just taking it easy a little bit as far as the music. I don't know. How can I say it? I'm getting back into making beats, right? I miss making my own music.
What DAW do you use?
So I actually been on MPC, bro. And this guy, Elroy Beats, has been working with me. I was sick this morning. He invited me to go to Southfield and cook up. But I couldn't make it. But yeah, MPC, man, it's been going good so far. But it's just, after recording other people's music for so long, I just like, I need to get back to my own shit.
Yeah.
I just was missing it.
Also, like with for our engineer, like example, I think it personally helped him a lot with his own music.
Yeah.
Being in there, not forcing yourself, but like kind of forcing yourself to hear so many different people. It probably expands your, catalog, but that's not
taste.
Right. Yeah, yeah. What you can do,
man. I'm excited for like kind of this next run I'm gonna do with music because now that. Like you said, like, I know what I'm doing as far as my own production.
Yeah.
I understand the technical stuff. I know how to actually market. I know who to market it to.
Say,
I know how to do it.
You built these relationships, too.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So I'm really excited about this second run. But with that being said, like, I've been making my own music and kind of falling off all the other people's music, but I kind of, man, I realized, bro, I'm not going, unless I get my own studio, which it will happen in life, but I really, you don't really get super rich as an engineer. I make good money. I'm able, I could definitely like take care of a family, maybe one kid, probably. I could and be straight and take care of my wife for sure. But, you know, two kids, three kids, and all this other shit, probably not engineering, bro. It's going to be kind of tight. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If you don't mind me asking, we can cut this if need to, but, like, how do splits work with engineers?
So, like,
and even producers? Like, I'm not, I haven't, you know, gotten, like, a crazy placement or credit or anything. I'm only a year in, but, like, I'm curious how that side of things works.
Yeah, man. So, the finances in music is important. I'm glad we actually talked about this. So, with me, like, for example, me and Mike, I charge $80 an hour.
Right.
Split it 40-40, right? That's also why I have my own home studio, so I can have people come to my house where I don't have to split.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still charging $80 at that point?
No. $50 an hour at my house.
Okay.
And literally, it's the exact same hardware equipment. I have a it's a booth, but it's, what's the brand? I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm not gonna.
Yeah, I forget. A whisper room. That's the brand. Okay. Yeah, a whisper room. But I have one of those in my. I have like a big ass like loft kind of style house. Mm-hmm. It's like 14-foot ceilings and shit like that. So, but $50 out of my house, and then you know $40 at the studio. Pretty much is what my take home. And then, you know, when I go to Skillers or if I go to Sada's, $60 an hour because I'm traveling there, so just an extra $10. But, yes, it's a decent money, you know what I mean? Like a five-hour day, $300.
Yeah.
You know, it's people that work 10 hours and don't even make that. It's good money, man, but it's like to do this for 20 years in and out, just sit at that desk, it's going to be a lot. And I'm understanding, I'm at this will be year 8 in November. So, that's really starting to hit me as I get older. I'm 30, I'll be 33 in September. So, you know, I'm wanting more things out of life. And I was listening, like when you asked Gage, like, you know, what is he working on outside of music? I hope that every engineer has a life outside of music or something on the side. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Because something to not fall back on, but something to just occupy your mind in other places, right?
Yeah, man. You know, because you need that. This shit will stress you out.
Eat you up.
The business will really stress you out because, you know, that trip when I was with Skilla, I think I worked 120 hours over that time. So I think it was like $8,000 I got. So good to over what, 2-3 weeks?
Yeah.
14 days?
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
That's more money than I would have ever made just sitting here for sure. But it's like, it's not consistent. You know, how often
are
is
you
he going to? Yeah. And then, you know, I didn't get my feelings, but it used to bug me that I wasn't going around with him more. But what I have to understand is that somebody has to pay for that. You know what I mean? Like, it's easier for him as a signed artist to fly out to California, go to the Interscope studio. Like, Interscope Records and the studio is right across the street from each other.
Yeah.
So it's easier for him to handle his business at the record, at the office, go right across the street to the studio.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean? I understand that. And that's what I mean, like, you cannot, or you should not have an ego in this industry. I really, as far as production, because like we work for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The moves that they make, they're not. It's not about us. And a lot of shit that they do, they really can't control.
Yeah,
they can't control what songs they drop. They can't control, you know, where they got to be. They book for this event, book for that. They can't really control all the time how they spend their time. I hate that. Like I know he's. I know his A&R, the guy who's overseeing his project, and he's just got skill of recording. Mm-hmm. I hate that I'm not out there doing that, but I understand the logistics behind that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm like, I really have to understand, like, unless I make a hit record,
yeah,
I'm really not gonna be like super, super, super rich, man. Like, you got guys, Jason Joshua, who charge probably, I would say probably 50 to 1,000, you know, to mix a project. I mean, I'm sorry, 50 to 100,000 to mix a project. But do you know how far and how hard it is to get, like, Jason Joshua's like 42 years old.
Yeah.
You know, it takes so much time to get to that point. Helluva told me, I didn't start making no money till I was 41. That's when First Day Out came out. 41 years old. It takes so much time, bro, to, like, blow up. It's so hard, especially if you're a producer. It's so hard to do. So you really have to just think long term. I'm gonna always do music, no matter what. I'm gonna always be an engineer, always do music. But I had to really look for other things. Like, this can't be my whole life. Yeah. This cannot be my everything. And it took a lot for me to get out of that. And of course, I have plenty of interests, but how many of those things are really realistic?
Yeah.
So, but make a long story short, I'm working on video games.
Yeah, bro.
So I started last summer. So and that's the beauty of technology now, is like music, movies, video games. You could literally do this shit in your living room, bro, at your house. Yeah. Like, no joke. Like,
they all play hand in hand too.
I swear to God, if you just sit there and lock in, like, you could do that shit, bro. So like, I mean, I'm sure you both game.
Yeah.
So if you look at video games now, like, AAA games aren't, like, they're AAA games, of course, but it's like they're not the same, you know what I mean? Like, the Assassin's Creed shit that came out, like, Ubisoft sucks. Like, Watch Dogs, Rainbow Six, all that shit is kind of sort of Assassin's Creed, all the same game, like,
right.
And so to speak, right? You got GTA, who's trying to charge you $80-$90 for a copy of Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, but you can make more on, you could make money on GTA. Oh, for sure. I don't know if you've been seeing that stuff.
That's crazy.
100%, right? But it's like, it's gross, bro. Like, $90 for a fucking video game is insane.
Yeah.
Bro.
No, 100%.
And then you're going to charge me all this other shit
to play in the game.
Yeah, bro. Like, it's gross, bro. And that's why indie games are so popular now, because you're getting games that may not look as good, but they still are dope in their own creative way, and they're fun, right? Yeah. There's a game, I can't remember off the top of my head, but there's a game with stick figures, bro, on Steam that's got like 80,000 reviews. So let's assume, and it's $15, let's assume those 80,000 people bought that game. How much money is that? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Is there, yeah.
You're not reviewing it if you didn't play it or didn't care about it.
It's
a black and white stick figure game.
Bro. Yeah.
And that's what made me realize, like, this could be my other thing. You know, I play games now all the time. Like, I don't always have the time for it, but I've always enjoyed games. And the game that I've been working on is a recreation pretty much of, like, Def Jam Vendetta.
Wow.
Yeah, see how that's see fire. That? See that? That's fire. What the whole world is going
to
do.
That's fire.
That could be crazy. So
that's what the whole world going to do.
Bro, that I'm sitting on a million dollar idea.
Yeah.
And I'm only saying it because I'm not on camera, right? This is the audio.
Audio.
No, it's the audio version, right? I'm cool with it. That's fine. But, yeah, man, I started last summer trying to come up with designs for the characters, right? I have all these connections, bro. Like, and that's another thing about my life, is where, like, it would be such a disappointment for me not to be something big, because I have all the resources. I have all the talent. I have all the tools. Why is the ingredients not coming together?
You gotta make the puzzle fit, man. Make the pieces fit together.
So I'm like, man, everybody, every dude, every most people that listen to rap probably play video games.
Yeah.
More than likely. I have connections. The reason Def Jam Vendetta didn't work out was because you have to pay them, ultimately.
Yeah.
Right? But with the way labels are and how popularity and shit goes, bro, these guys that aren't signed to a label, I can snatch them up and be like, hey, this is the video game I got. It's a fighting game with rappers.
Let me put your character in that bitch.
Yeah.
Let's work out, you know, some type of arrangement. Who is going to say no to that?
Because if anything, you're only giving them a platform,
exactly
too.
Exactly my point. Exactly.
You're giving them something that's going to live for life. I mean, their music's going to be there forever, but, like,
people still talk about those games,
you know, yeah.
They still play them. And I could start off small, like, okay, 8 characters, right? Sada and Skilla are definitely going to be my main 2 characters because they're the ones I have the closest relationships to. And also, like, I know the A&Rs, a few of the A&Rs, not everybody.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying? It's not where it's like, it's unattainable. This is 100% unattainable with a phone call.
Yeah.
You know, so reaching out, like, I could call Herbo right now if I really wanted to and be like, hey.
I got this idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Like, let me watch these videos of the game, bro, and just let me know what you think, if this is something you want to be a part of. But how many people really will say no? Not many, bro.
A lot of people. If someone asked me to be in a video game, I'd be like, "Oh yeah, what do you mean, bro?"
I kind of want to do a Fortnite style, so like, the character, you get the character, but like, you just, if you want your character to be fresh, that's where the money is. You know, you just like you buy clothes in real life,
right?
Just pay from virtual. Yeah, that's the only thing I could think of. But yeah, I started the designs with some cats in England. I didn't like. The first ones, I'll show you.
I was going to say, if you got some demos or something, let me see what they look like.
Because Skilla looked a little Mexican. I'm like, and then they were like, I mean, if we really want to back this, like, it's got to really look like us, bro. 100, like, I get that. I get exactly what they're talking about. So, with that money I got from that Miami trip, I've just been reaching out to other designers. Once you get the character, so let's say I get like Skilla and 4-2 Dub, right? Once I get those down, then I can start focus on animations, movements, and things like that. Once I get the animations and movements down, then I can port it into whatever engine, which will probably be Unreal. And once I import them into Unreal, then I can start designing the worlds, start designing the maps, start coding how they interact with the levels,
a bitch,
and shit.
Dude.
Yeah, oh, it's nuts. But bro, like, people make so much money in software, dog. Like,
it's insane.
It's insane how much money. It's a lot of work, but it's worth it.
If you know your shit, you're gonna make some good money.
All
doing
these plug-in companies for all this shit, that it's just all software and coding.
Yeah.
And I wish I would, like, when I was younger,
would have noticed that.
Man, I wish I would have knew how shit would have turned out. Because people were telling me, like, bro, learn coding. Like, my mom was telling me to do that shit. I ain't gonna fuck
with
that.
Like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah,
I want to do
that. I'm not trying to do that, but look how life comes back full circle.
Yeah,
you know. But yeah, man, anything you want to do nowadays, there's no reason for you not to be able to do it, man.
Or at least, like, try. And
yeah,
take a chance. Get it.
Take a chance.
You said it earlier, and I said, I mean, the camera wasn't on, but I pointed at the camera when you said it earlier.
That's dope, though. So, like, what do you? You said it's a fighting game between rappers. Okay, so it's the same thing.
Yeah, just.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you're going to have, like, a story mode with it, or if there's, like, a little battle royale, I mean, type of deal.
I'm very far away from that, though, too. You know what I mean? So the biggest thing I feel like with anybody, when you want to do something, just start small.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to start out with the designs first.
Yeah.
Boom. Once I start getting the designs and then the animation and all that shit really starts coming together, then it starts becoming more real. Like, fuck, I got a playable game. Like, I can really play this shit right now if I wanted to. But once you do that, you can just see the vision clear.
Yeah.
Now that I know I can do that, okay, I have to come up with more money to design the next character and the next character.
I'm excited to play it.
I want to see this shit, bro.
It's gonna be like all Detroit guys.
and I'm glad that I'm kind of putting this on record somewhere, because
when it happens, we can go back.
When it happens, you're gonna be like, dog,
this shit's gonna get clipped like a mom.
It's gonna be crazy,
I'm excited for that, bro. That's good for you. That's dope.
But I swear, man, every person, whatever you doing, if you a lawyer, you gotta have something outside your life. You know, outside of that. Like, that just can't be.
It can't be your whole life.
Can't be. And I don't know. It was my life. Like, beats and music has been my life for so long, and it's unhealthy.
Yeah, you need something else in there too.
Damn, dude, I'm excited. That's gonna dope.
Yeah. Realistically, but you see that excitement y'all got just by me telling.
Yeah,
you?
That's yeah. Why, like, that's what I'm saying. I can already see the vision. Like, I get it, bro.
Brother,
when are you expecting like a release for that? If you had to like put a time on it,
if I really had, I would say probably like in a year, I would have
like a demo.
A playable demo, like with four characters, two worlds. I could say.
Okay.
Like, I could have we'll honestly, realistically. So when I did it last summer, the guys were like, bro, we can have this shit done in 3 weeks.
And it's like, nah, you got to take your time, though. You got to make sure everything's fucking right,
bro. And that shit sounds great, but it's also like the designs weren't what I wanted. Yeah. So that's why I'm like, don't rush it. And then it's also weird, too, because, I mean, it's just like anything. You got people trying to scam and shit mm-hmm. like that. You know how, like, you got people that DM you, like, hey, let me do your flyer,
yeah.
bro.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's people like that. Like, when I post on Reddit, looking for 3D modelers and shit like that. Get all type of people from India, Japan. Yep. I don't know who the fuck was what, but, you know, just I FaceTime them, you know.
You're going to – I was going to say, taking your time on something like that is definitely well worth it, and you can't rush something like that. Just one, because I'm sure you're going to come across some type of bugs or something in the demo. Yeah. You know, you're going to come across something. Like, you see that all the time yeah. with games. You have to update a new game that comes out because they're patching whatever.
All the time.
So, like, no, I'm really excited to see that.
Yeah,
and
bro. And then I
want one of the first copies. I'm not lying.
I swear, bro. Shit, you might fuck around and be in it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that'd be wild.
Let's run it.
Can we be the commentators?
Bro, crazy. I know one thing, though. I haven't seen no do the whole – through the whole music.
Soundtrack?
Yeah, the whole soundtrack.
Oh, that'd be dope.
That's fire.
It's going to be insane.
Yeah.
But, okay, I'm going to get to my
Cino
story. Let
me sneak a beat in one of the worlds. Let me sneak a little beat in
there. Yeah, I got you. But Cino, bro, like, I got to tell you how much he mean to me, bro. So I used to do acid a bit in Big Rapids. Yeah, I fuck with psychedelics, bro. It's good for you. Good. Yeah. Right, I wish we was, but the first time I did acid, dog, was when Free Bass 2 Chainz mixtape album came out, and C-Note did like 3 or 4 songs on it, and bro, I was just rolling so hard. I had just got a brand new pair of Beats, banging vibing. That shit, bro. I played that probably like 500 times that night, bro. I was so high, just losing my mind
in a loop.
Seriously, man. But once in that trip, man, I was just like, this it, bro. This is what I want to do. Yeah. Like, this, I don't know. Just
now you're
feeling.
Working with
yeah,
the dude,
exactly,
man. That's crazy.
Bro. Like, and then when I'm at the board, bro, and then I just looked to my left, and I'm like, I couldn't believe, like, I felt like a kid. I'm like, what the fuck, bro? And just as nice as can be. Like, that was probably the one person in life, they say, don't meet your heroes, which is true. Don't meet him. But him, true to form. He was everything I thought he'd be.
That's awesome.
That's
not an asshole, cool as fuck, just very inviting type personality, bro. Like, he was dope as hell. And every beat he played for me was incredible, dog.
Smashes,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, dog. I just love his work ethic, bro. Like, because we had females there the entire time we was there. But when they would come in, he'd just go to another room. Like, you know, like, I love fucking with the hoes, but like, when we're working,
yeah.
That's how I am, like, as a person. Like, it's cool. Can we work first and do all that bullshit later?
Right.
You know what I mean? That's that's the type of person.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, how do you feel about that when they bring like a whole entourage? Like, is it, you got to turn the music up a little louder so you can hear them, or like, you know?
It gets annoying, man. Cause okay, so it's different when like, so the Skillet sessions, I'm the man. Like, everything, it don't matter. Everything I say goes in those sessions, right? But like, when Trey Song is bringing his entourage and his people in, it can get kind of iffy, cause I'm not trying to be rude.
Right.
I'm not
overstep a boundary or
whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I get it, bro. Y'all drunk as hell. Y'all just came from a concert. But y'all also got to understand that we're working right now.
Yeah.
Y'all being loud as hell and fucking up my recordings right now. So it can get a little annoying. It don't ever get a little crazy. Because once I like, hey, can everybody be quiet? Usually, like, so I'd be like, yeah. Y'all please shut the fuck up so we can work. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Thank you, bro, for
validating.
You know, validating that shit. So, but you don't always get that. And sometimes you just gotta be the asshole.
And then the vibe can get a little weird.
Yeah, it can. Yeah, it can, because if you got a drunk girl that's, why I gotta shut up and all, yeah, bro. It just, come on, baby. Like, you working right now. So,
I get that.
But it's never nothing crazy, man. I've never had nothing really, like, ridiculous, like, you know, harmful or anything just too crazy happen, man. Usually everybody comes correct. I've had some weird shit happen. I've had people fall out in the booth drinking too much lean, man. I've had two people, bro, literally. I've had one fall out in the booth, one guy in the middle of paying me. Like, he's handing me money, literally eyes roll back, fall, just passes out, right? Another guy, I go to the bathroom, I come back, I hear boom. Guys pass out on the floor, bro. Too much sipping, dog. You can never come back here ever again.
Had a few.
Yeah, man. Like, those clients, weed them out quickly. Like, you got one time to fuck up with me, bro. I don't need that.
Yeah, one strike.
I don't do that no call, no show shit.
Man.
I'll block you.
You take deposits first?
I do, but some guys, like, some guys I just...
You trust them enough first.
But they cross that line, and I just don't do it. Like, this one guy, this weekend, this guy named... I blocked him on Instagram, forgot to block his number, but they end up sending me this long paragraph explaining the situations. I'm like, I really don't give a fuck, bro. Like, I really don't care. But it's like, you cool, bro. We don't have no problems. Just do good business.
Yeah.
I don't do bad business.
Right.
Like, be on time. If you're not going to be here or whatever the fuck, call me. But I take it as such disrespect when people...
I get that.
No call, no show. Like, people...
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, at least be... honest and like communicate and just be open.
Just
like,
communicate. What you think I'm gonna fight you?
I was
bro?
Gonna say,
just
like,
say something.
Yeah. I was gonna say, for the most part, I'm assuming you're a very understanding person. It's like, it's nothing to message your little, hey, this came up. Life gets like, we get that shit. Like, I don't know.
That pisses me off too. For people to be mad at them.
Yeah,
like,
that makes sense.
I'm not your mom.
Right.
Like,
I want to ask you your top five favorite plugins or VSTs.
Oof, okay. I've been digging the Spawn VST.
I've been seeing that sponsored on Instagram. It's legit.
It's dope. So the thing about...
That's like the AI Melody stuff, right?
Yeah, but the thing about it is it's not like... The marketing is AI heavy, right? Everything is marketed. Oh, this is AI, right? AI, all that stuff has to pull it from somewhere, bro.
Right.
So... how you got to look at this VST is, it's like, there's a sound bank that they have. Yep. They have a sound library with tags in it. And if you just put these tags together in whatever combination, you kind of get, like, these certain melodies or these midis or whatever vibes that you want will pop up. So it's dope for, like, kind of randomization, but eventually, unless they if they don't keep updating the banks, you're gonna be using the same MIDI in the same loops over and over.
Right.
That's how we got to look at, like, all these new plugins. Like, Output has one co-producer that came out. Have you seen that?
Mm-mm.
Oh, it's nasty though.
No.
Bro, this one's filthy, because I've tried it in one of my Pro Tools sessions. So what it does, let's say I'm finished with the song, I'm like, something's missing. You put it on your master, it listens to the song, you tell it what key it's in, and then it listens to the song, and then it'll pull up, like, samples, like, all the samples that might go with it, bro. So, and it plays it in time. So, as you
just, like, drag it in?
No, as you're clicking the samples, right, you click one, push play, the whole song will start playing with the sample playing at the same time. So, it's like, everything flows with it, and it just... It's fire, bro.
I'm
but the same thing,
out.
Like, it has to pull it from somewhere. It's not some computer just making these melodies up. But that's the way it's marketed.
Right.
Yeah, that's what the way people think AI is. Oh, it's iPhones just, or Grok or whatever the fuck's just making
Grok,
shit up. It's like, no, bro. It's pulling from resources on the internet.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
I fucked with AI for a little bit when I was digging on making cover arts. And I was very, at first, like, oh, this could be computer stuff. But, like, Devin, a guy that works with us, was very, like, you got to realize that they're taking stuff from other people. Mm-hmm. Like little pieces is all people's different art. So you got to be careful how you use that type of stuff. I feel like it's different with art rather than making music.
Yeah.
Because making music, I feel like when it's AI, like you can make whatever you want, basically.
Dude, like, I made a country song like 3 years ago just fucking around. Didn't turn out too bad, actually. Yeah. I put it into some website, and I got 21 Savage vocals over my country song, bro.
What the
I'm
fuck?
Sitting there. I'll show you right now. Dude, this shit
do
was
you
funny
wanna dance
fuck,
with
bro.
Me?
This shit was funny as fuck. But now, what other plugins, VSTs you fucking with?
What else? I like the new Fab Filter 4, the Pro Q4. That's dope. Honestly, man, I haven't... It's been the same for the most part. Like my chain's been the same. Like L2 for my mastering, but Soothe, that's one I've really been digging a lot lately. But I'm such a like analog guy nowadays that I don't even bother with plugins, bro. And then like at home I have a so this is cool, a cool piece that I have. It's called it's a Night Pro, that's the company, EQ3D. Right, this was the company in the 90s that Moog was.
Okay,
so it's just like a Moog EQ. It's the same everything, stereo, the air button, everything. It's just a 90s version of it. But I didn't even know that was the thing. Like I thought Moog was always Moog. No, they bought out that company and just
just
rebranded it. So let me see this.
It does not sound like 21.
No, it don't, but I see how they try. Bro, you know what's funny about that? I forget the website, but I had a client last maybe like 6 months ago. He got a feature from Sada, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sada did the feature. I did the feature, but he was also supposed to do a part on the hook that he didn't do. And so... we went to some website and the guy recorded what Sada was supposed to say. We uploaded it to the website and it transposed it into
Sada's voice.
Yeah.
How'd it sound?
It sounded like him, but not really. You know what I mean? Like, it sounds like him, but
I'm
it's,
sure
you
throw
know,
a few effects
him.
On
but
it.
But as a
shit,
layer,
like, it probably turned out pretty.
Yeah, it was decent, but it was just like, I kind of felt bad about doing it. I felt weird about doing it. It's like, I know this person personally. Yeah. And it's like, this ain't the real thing.
You could have just been like, next time you come to the studio, hey, just throw this down real quick.
Well, see, and then that's the thing. Like, I'm like, yeah, you probably not. He probably not going. Re-record stuff on there, so like you gotta just make it work then, bro. I've tried that AI stuff. Is weird, man. I feel like we gotta use it for like what it is, and then just kind of like it's people are worried that it's gonna take over music. No, it's not. We're still very very far from anything like that, bro. Yeah. Like,
I was gonna ask you, have you ever tried to record your own music, like where you're actually like rapping?
I did, man. It's just. I don't have the voice for it. Like I'm way too monotone. Like it don't.
That's kind of why I gave up too. Yeah. I don't got the voice.
Yeah.
I can write. Like I have no problem writing. Yeah. But no, I was just curious if you ever done that.
Who doesn't want to sound good on the mic? Right. And it kind of hurt a little bit that it don't sound good. But everybody got their role. Everybody can't do everything. You know what I'm saying? Like Jordan wasn't the best rebounder on the team.
Right.
You know
good point. That does make a lot of sense, actually. Yeah. What would you say your personal favorite song is that you've worked on? Oof.
Shit.
If you could recommend one person to go listen to a mix that you've done.
Okay, because I was going to say a song that's not even out yet. But a mix, that's tough, bro. That's tough. I'm not going to lie. I would say... listen to anything. I think CM3, Skilla Baby, that tape probably was my best work to date.
Okay.
So, it's 13 songs in there.
That's the one that was charting, right?
Yeah, I did 8 of them out of 13. So, pick an 8, I probably did in there. That's my best work for sure.
I was going to ask you, what would you say your biggest weakness is? Something that you know or want to improve on in the future? We're getting to the questions that you were sitting around for Gage now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty patient, so I won't say that. my attitude, man, how I look at things can be kind of fucked up. I got to check myself. Yeah.
Am I tripping or?
Yeah, no, for real, bro. I do that all day. Literally, damn near with every thought, I have to like, is that really, why do I feel like this? Like, I got to really like.
I feel like there's pros and cons to that, though.
Yeah, it is. Because it can save your ass for sure. Yeah.
100%.
But also, it can also be harmful because you're overanalyzing shit and not being present in the moment.
Making it deeper
too.
Than what it needs to be, exactly, type shit. Right. Yeah.
So it's definitely a double-edged sword. But it's I feel like anxiety and shit like that is survival instincts. It's like you feel something, but you just don't know. So yeah, type shit.
If you can make a collab album with any artist in the music industry, who would it be and why? Like if you could engineer a whole album. Or even produce, now that you're getting back into beats.
Who is that? I don't know. I didn't look at his face.
Lance's little brother.
Oh, it might be.
I love. It's not even about the song, but I can hear the joy in his voice.
Yeah, like, he's having the time of his life.
He's having fun.
Shit, man. I would say
his little brother's like 16, 17 years old.
Yeah. To be honest, I think if me and Herbo got together, that'd be good.
Tough,
because we did. It which is so cool, bro. Like, so Skilla left, and Herbo, I don't even know what the fuck he was even doing, bro. Like, he was just at the studio, dog. And so Skilla left, and he was like, yeah, put this beat on, and we just started recording. So it was dope. Like, me and him just got our little time together. So I got, like, 4 or 5 songs with him that this one song called Brown Skin, he called, like, his A&R was like, bro, y'all gotta open the budget because I want to shoot a video to this. But this song, bro, when it come out, it's gonna be huge. It's for the girls, but it's with him and Skilla. It's gonna be nasty.
We were talking. We had a girl on here not too long ago, very talented, just getting started in music. She actually got in contact with Skilla's people, and he like sent her like a voice message on Instagram or something like that. And he's like, go listen to this song. It was like she made it like an intro to like one of her songs.
Yeah.
And what was she saying? What was it, bro? What'd you just say? I just lost it. I'm sorry.
Brown skin for women.
Oh, yeah. On the podcast, I was saying that, like, he makes a lot of good music for the women.
Girls, yeah.
But he can also flip that, too. Yeah. But, like, I feel like it's more the industry sounding for him that has more potential with making it sound for the women, right?
For
like,
sure, man.
Hitting it's that more, audience, I guess you could
it's
say.
It's more money in that. Yeah. That's all it is. But, like, if you are around him, he pretty much like a damn... like a modern day, like kind of Rick James, bro. Like the women
just gravitate
love him,
to him,
bro. Like it's crazy, bro. When we was the first night in Miami, it's like 80 women at the house, bro. It was 6 of us, 80 girls.
That's
I'm
not...
my fucking life. But that's the type of artist that he is. Like, you know, women just
gravitate
just love him.
Towards him.
Bro. It's certain artists, like
that's crazy.
It's a guy named Huncho. I'm sure, like, he make a lot of music for girls. He makes some street music, but mostly for girls, bro. I'm sure his parties are insane.
Oh,
like,
I'm sure.
Bro, if y'all can go to a rap party, bro, go. Let's go one time if you can, dog. Cause that is unreal. Dog. It's unreal.
5 dinner guests, dead or alive, can be anyone. Doesn't have to be musicians. Could be anybody in your life.
All right. So I think first guest would be my OG, cause he passed. Haven't seen or talked to him in a long time, so my dad
rest in
for
peace,
sure.
Man.
C-Note would be there because he's the inspiration to all this shit. Dead or alive. I like Mozart. Like, have y'all ever seen Amadeus?
No.
Bro, go watch Amadeus.
I'm gonna have to check
if you
it
like
out.
Music, go watch Amadeus. It's about Mozart, like his life. Pretty much, and just how, like, it's real life. The nigga was a prodigy, and he just had people hating on him for the most part, bro. It's a lot of movies like that that really, like, I gravitate to, like, people that are just absolutely undeniable with what they do, but people try to cut them down.
Yeah,
and you have to persevere through that.
But, we haven't heard Mozart at a dinner table yet.
bro. Like, it's just dope to me. Like, he was the first person, like, so to speak, like, in quote-unquote modern times, and if you look at the grand scheme of life, that was really, like, world famous. Bro.
Yeah.
Like Mozart, at, 5 years old, you know what I'm saying, playing for the Pope, playing full concerts.
That's nuts. Yeah.
Was laying like that, doing that shit blindfold, 6-7 years old.
Crazy.
You know what I'm saying? It's some people in the world that's just, that's born
just
like
got
that.
Got it.
Yeah, gifted.
But the in the movie, there's another guy that's a composer that just is doing all this shit, shady shit to take him down. And he just, you can't deny shit that's gifted, bro.
Like, yeah.
You really can't. And it's things in life. Like, it's just, it, you can't, no matter what anybody do, bro, it's, it was meant to happen.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, we got two more.
Oh,
two
shit,
more
two
at the
more.
Table.
Oh, shit. Damn. Who else would I want to meet? I'd want to meet fucking Malcolm X, too.
That's mm-hmm. a good
Malcolm,
one.
Malcolm
That's
X
a common answer on here.
Yeah, a lot of people.
I'd love to meet, bro.
Last seat
last
at the
one,
table.
Who would I have at the dinner table? I'm going to just say my mom, bro, because, like, she just always kept it real with me, bro. No matter what I did, that woman would support me.
That's awesome.
Shit.
Yeah, whatever, bro. Just, moms is rock. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
100%.
She's everything.
What are you guys eating and who's cooking?
Fuck, man. Either my mom or me are cooking, man. I throw down in the
you
kitchen.
Like to cook a lot?
Yeah, bro, I love cooking.
Hell yeah.
Type shit.
But, yeah, my mom's cooking and we're probably having classic just steak mashed potatoes, bro. I can eat that
good
old
fashioned
with some asparagus,
old reliable
green beans, bro.
Old
good.
Reliable
what else you need,
right?
What else
right
you need?
Who are your personal favorite top five artists of all time any genre,
man? So I gotta throw some rock and roll in there, bro. I love this band called Chevelle.
Mm-hmm.
I found a lot of music like as a kid through video games, bro. So Chevelle was always in like all the sports games in like 04, 05, 06, 07. Even now, like they
say, I'm sure I've heard something in the game.
The Red or Saturate, bro, nasty. But so Chevelle, I love Mike Will as a producer. I love.
You went on a crazy run.
Yeah,
shoot,
bro.
That's
like funny
10
that
years
you said
ago,
that.
Dude. Like,
that's how we got to start judging people by the runs that they have. Because, like you got to look at somebody in their prime more so. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like AI, bro. Like, as a basketball player, like the run he had as a player was unbelievable. But when he got to Denver and with the Pistons, you know what I'm saying? You can't judge him based off that.
Yeah,
right.
Like, you got to.
We're talking him in his prime.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But, like, it's certain artists, you know, that just have crazy primes. Yeah, crazy runs, bro. And then, you know.
Yeah.
It fizzle out or whatever.
Beethoven.
Yeah.
Crazy. Metro still, he's still doing his run right now. So. Some people, it's long and short, but shit, I forgot where I was going with that. I'm not gonna lie.
I was asking top five artists.
Oh yeah, top five artists.
Mike Will.
Yeah, Mike Will. I just Chevelle. Even though he's a producer, but I gotta put
that's
him
fine.
In there,
we'll
bro.
Take it.
I love Mike. I like J. Cole, Mac Miller. I love Mac Miller, and.
You'd get along great with Chance, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a whole mural sitting in there. Mac Miller,
I have
actually.
Two of his vinyls, bro. But it's like why I love Mac, because his music, him, same shit with Wiz. I put Wiz on that
Ooh.
List, too.
Ooh,
just because at that time, like.
Taylor Gang.
I was just graduating high school when, like, he really was
started popping off.
So that was, you know, just represented that time in my life, man.
Man, the first time I heard Boarding Pass, I was lit. That was like one of my first ever songs I heard by Wiz Khalifa.
Bro, Wiz was amazing.
Cushion Orange Juice 2 actually drops tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, when people are listening to this, it'll already be out for like 2 weeks, but still.
Right. But yeah, man, but Wiz was crazy. Like his run, bro. Wiz had a crazy 6-7 year ridiculous run.
Hits,
bro.
Two hits, like
and
number ones.
I would say, I think See You Again, once he did that was like the peak.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that song was huge.
And then it's downhill from there. But it's at the point where, like, you've had your run. You're solidified in the industry.
He's doing other ventures to make
money.
Like an Oreo
he's
commercial.
Good, bro.
No, he's chilling.
That's how we got to look at this shit. Like, Like, you get in the game, you got to understand that this shit is not going to last forever.
Yeah.
You're going to be the flavor of the year for a couple of years. And then, you know, you hit your peak. Just ride it out, bro. It's okay.
What are you doing on and off the field is pretty much what it is. Yeah. Like, you know, there's people, athletes, for example, like, they're doing stuff outside of basketball or football or whatever it may be. And, like, it brings them to a not a higher status, but, you know, like, they're – I don't know how to word it, but they're getting a lot more done than, like, you would expect. And it that you always need to have that type of mindset, yeah, I guess you could say.
You're absolutely right, bro. You are.
Favorite album with no skips, start to finish. One album the rest of your life. What album you listening to?
That's a tough one. Damn by Kendrick Lamar.
Mm. Good album.
That's probably my favorite album of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
It's my favorite Kendrick album.
You said Pablo was a big one too.
That's my favorite. But again, like, those were just like when those albums came out. And the times that they represented in my life when I was listening to them is why I love them so much. It's the period of time. You know what I'm
saying? Was that 2016?
Yeah. 2016, 17.
So 2016 across, you got some years on me.
Yeah.
Across my generation is like known as like the greatest year of all time. Was 2016 was like the same way for you? How old are you at this point? You're in college, right?
2016. Yeah, I'm probably 23.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, I'm sure 2016 was just as good.
Yeah.
Kuz did actually say to me the other night, like, statistically, like, if you look at the numbers, rap peaked in 2016.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like, if you look at, like, what guys were doing and who was popping off.
I think that's just when there was that whole shift, though. Like, there was a big change in music in 2016.
People fucked with rap, man. It became...
I'm saying, like, that XXL, it was a whole new era.
Oh, no, yeah, but, like...
You know, you had 21 Savage, you had guys like Kodak, all them.
You had guys like X, who is a rapper... But, like, maybe not the same rapper as Drake. So, like, these kids that aren't into rap necessarily are finding X or finding Trippy.
You know what it is? You had a very strong mainstream rap was huge.
Yeah.
You know, with the Kendricks, J. Cole's, the Drake.
Future.
Right? Huge, yeah.
Travis, huge. Yeah.
But you also had alternative rap, the underground rap, and SoundCloud. The
people coming up.
That was huge, too. So, it was, like, that's what made it so great. Because now...
I was going to say, how do you feel about that now that SoundCloud's kind of, like you said, it had its run.
Yeah.
Like, why do you think it? Why do you think it? Like, stuff like that happens.
It's just because, Apple is just a giant, you know, that people need to feel the need to be paid for their work, I'll say. I don't say they need to be paid for it. But people feel the need to be paid for their work and SoundCloud don't pay. So it's like, why even bother? That was a huge thing, bro. But then if you bring into the fact that everybody has an iPhone or has Apple, or if you don't, you have Spotify. It's one of those two usually, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's just Tidal, YouTube. I use YouTube Premium, bro, and I use YouTube Music just because it comes with that.
Yeah. You're one of the only guys I've heard that says they have YouTube Music, bro. And they pay for the... Honestly, I can see why, though.
I'm on YouTube all the time, in between podcasts and... all the shit that I'm learning or trying to read up on.
Or even just like watching shit, you know, just random videos. Like,
it's worth it, bro. I pay the $12, honestly, whatever the fuck.
YouTube's probably the best social media, by far.
And I tell people, this is another tip. I wish we was on camera, but when you meet somebody new, instead of you're already talking to them, like, yeah, I do music, woo, 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 follow me. When you get to the point of following socials, don't ask for Instagram. Ask to... subscribe to my YouTube, I would subscribe to yours.
Mm.
It's more lucrative transaction.
Yeah,
it is.
We need to build up your YouTube subscribers. Is important, bro. That shit is really important.
I always said that if you blow up on Instagram or TikTok, like, yeah, okay, you blew up, but like, there's not much staying power.
Does it translate?
If you blow up on YouTube or like Twitter,
it's the final destination. Yeah. Like, that's where everybody going anywhere is to YouTube to
at least watch a video,
or listen one or the other. Yeah. So
I never really looked at it like that, that deep.
Start doing that, bro. Start asking people to subscribe. You know what I'm saying? And then you more than likely can get their fucking Instagram off their YouTube.
Off their YouTube, yeah.
Just whatever. But go for that.
Vice versa too.
Yeah, because true. It doesn't. You don't want to like. Oh, let me follow all your socials. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of weird.
You gotta ease your way.
So,
if you had a gun to your head and you got to sing every lyric to a song in order to stay alive, what song would that be?
Afro man because I got high.
We haven't heard that one. That's a great that's a great song.
What
to,
a
oh
pool.
Man. We have not heard that one, but that might be the best answer.
That's
the
best go the outro.
No, I mean, the final question is, like, the next 10 years, like, other ventures. But, I mean, we kind of already touched on that with video games. Or anything else that you want to get into?
Hopefully, man, 10 years, I really would just, like one of these fucking – a decent size, like, maybe 1,500 square foot building, a production studio, you know, hopefully doing a little bit of movies, but definitely music for sure.
Video games.
And video games.
I'm excited. I'm sorry. I'm excited
say,
about
1,500
that.
Square feet. You got a room that you can do it. You have a podcast set up in there, a video shooting there.
That's what I want, bro. I just want a spot where I could just do
everything
that I need to at. Like, everything
right
is here. You don't need to do shit else.
Imagination station.
Man, I've already thought about how I'm going to, like, when it comes time to do, like, because I want everybody to have their real voice. I'm going to book a hotel. I'm going to have everybody either, probably Atlanta, but come to Atlanta. I'm going to book the hotel. Everything is going to be done in the conference room in the hotel. We don't have to leave food. It will be taken care of.
Yep.
I got you. Anything outside of that, that's on you.
Yeah, your entertainment purposes,
right.
Whatever
that's on
doing.
You, bro.
Strip club,
but like all
Flames,
that shit,
Magic
like,
City.
it's going to be huge, man. I already got it mapped out, but it's like, now that I see it, I just gotta do it.
Execute
man.
It now.
Yeah, facts.
Man, this was a great pod.
This
bro.
Might
I'm
be
so
the longest.
This is the longest podcast we've ever done.
Really, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm,
man, it's just because I have a lot, bro. Like, the next time I come back, bro, it's going to be even the same.
It works. Everything you were saying was like, it wasn't like, there's been long ones that we've had where we're like bored.
Right,
there was not a moment.
No,
was
this was
bored.
A great episode,
man,
dude.
I'm glad.
And next time you come on, I'm sure there's gonna be a lot more to talk about because what you got going right now, I'm sure it's gonna be 10 times crazier the episode. But once again, I do want to thank you for coming
thank
on,
you,
man.
Brother, man.
This
for
was a banger,
dog. For real, dog.
You,
of course,
and
of course.
Now that you're getting back into beats, I want to link up and learn some shit from you with the production
man,
side of things.
Absolutely, bro. Because I'm telling you that once you learn one dog, you know the other ones. It's just, you know music, man. I've been into it so long, bro. I can teach anybody and show them whatever.
That's
bro.
My thing. I never grew up playing an instrument, you know. I just like, no, I know. I'm just saying, like, I enjoyed the writing and the creation of making a whole song.
Yeah.
I don't know music theory like that, you know. I'm kind of just going off the ear. And, like, as of right now, I think I'm doing a pretty damn good job for a year in, dude. You
I
know
will
what
say
I mean?
That. Like, that's one thing that's also really important, like, in that studio vibe and finding the team. Everyone has to have, like, there's a certain ear that you need to have.
Ear and an interest and passion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to care about the
I'm gonna have to
care.
I'm going to have to show you some stuff we're working on because, well.
Shit, show me the studio and all this shit.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
No,
we
we're going to. We're going to. But I'm talking about some projects that I'm working on.
Okay.
I can't really speak on the pod.
Okay.
But actually, the first one I might be able to. No Hard Feelings 3 with me and 2-6 is coming out soon.
That
yeah.
On
that's
here,
on,
I
yeah.
No. Was that before we were filming?
I don't know.
You were
but
talking to
that's my first time it. Saying it on record, so I got to stick with it.
No
now
Hard Feelings
3
is
coming out.
Number
3. So I Know Hard Feelings 2, it was Chance. Me and Chance were both rapping. I was, you know, recording. This one is just beats, strictly produced by me.
Oh,
just Chance. No features, just Chance rapping on my beats.
Bro.
And then the other one we're going to have to save for off camera. So any shout-outs you want to give real quick before we sign off?
Man, just shout out to all the listeners. I hope you got something good out of the things that I was saying, man. I hope you really found some value in that.
You did drop some gems.
I was gonna say he dropped some gems.
Well, once again, thank you for coming on. Wishing you nothing but success in the future.
For real, man.
I'm excited to see what you can do, man.
Thanks, brother.
What you got going on right now sounds pretty amazing.
Thank
so
you,
I'm excited to see that shit. So
appreciate it.
That being said, you got anything?
Hey, man. This was one of them ones.
This was a banger. I'm so pissed we lost the footage to the fans. I'm sorry.
Right. Why does that always happen?
I know the best
two
episodes.
Of our other two, like, we have one episode with a guy named Money Moves Gav. Great fucking episode. We go to look at the footage. Gone.
Oh.
Another guy, RBJ. Great episode.
Oh,
go to look at the footage. Gone. We got him back on.
There's something else that we never really touched on. I know that you were a wrestler in high school.
Oh,
are you big into, like, WWE shit right now?
Not right now. I used to love it, though. Hold on.
We'll save it for off camera. This has been
Cena.
The
right guy.
We'll get back on air one time and chop it up, but we'll talk off camera about it because I know you guys. I know
Mania
you probably got
weekend.
A bunch of shit.
Mania is this weekend. I'm excited.
So with that being said,
check out all of Chris's stuff. Links will be in the description. Like, comment, subscribe, and hopefully we'll see you guys next Sunday. I don't know why you're looking at the camera because we don't got nothing going on. Peace out.